Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Chevy Truck Month. It's Deck Building Month. It's Work and Play Month. It's the month to get things done with the Silverado 1500 and Silverado HD, the strongest, most advanced family of Silverados ever. It's Explore New Ground Month with the Colorado ZR2 named the best off-roader by Popular Mechanics. And Room for Everyone Month in a versatile and advanced Tahoe and Suburban, America's best-selling family of full-size SUVs. So whether you need a pickup truck or a full-size SUV, Chevy has the right truck for you. Plus, now during Truck Month, make it your own with a $1,000 accessory allowance with the eligible purchase of a new Chevy with accessories. So make this month the month to get a Chevy truck and make every month Truck Month. See your Mid-South Chevy dealers. Excludes Colorado-based models. Must take new retail delivery of a 2020 or 2021 Silverado 1500, Silverado HD, Colorado, or 2020 Tahoe or Suburban with eligible GM or associated accessories by 11/30/2020. Accessory purchase must be equal to or more than $1,000 at MSRP. Excludes tax and installation. Not available with some other offers. Visit All Star Chevrolet today.
This Black Friday weekend, get to Robert Irwin Jewelers, where you're going to get great gifts with purchase like Amazon Echoes or Fire Sticks or even Apple AirPods. Huge sale going on at Robert Irwin Jewelers this Black Friday weekend. 5 locations or online at rijewelers.com. See a store for complete details.
I bought football tickets for my husband, and now I'm in a football bubble. All I see online are articles and ads about football. I hate feeling manipulated. I downloaded DuckDuckGo, and I saw a difference right away. Get privacy online with DuckDuckGo.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
My name is Gary Parish, speaking to you from Hernando, Mississippi. Ben Adol producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day best you can. Hope the Tigers can go one more day without any positive COVID test, because if so, and as long as St. Mary's does the same, we're going to get to watch the first game of Penny Hardaway's third season tomorrow afternoon. And wouldn't that be a fun way to spend Thanksgiving Eve? We're going to talk about it momentarily. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. Dana O'Neill covers college basketball for The Athletic. I'm going to get her thoughts on this upcoming college basketball season, the craziness that we're already enduring. She's going to be here in the next segment. When I finish that, I'll take a break, come back, do four notable stories at 4:44, at which point I'm going to discuss four previously undiscussed stories. Among them, Tom Brady sucked last night, and the Rams beat the Buccaneers 27-24. By the way, Bennett's lock of Daryl Henderson over 32 rushing yards.
I'm done. I'm done giving out locks. I'm done with it.
Did not go well. We'll talk Monday Night Football around 4:44. Randy Arozarena, the former Memphis Redbird, was the star of the MLB postseason last month. Now he's creating more headlines this month, and not good ones. He has reportedly been detained in Mexico for trying to kidnap his daughter from his ex-wife, and he allegedly beat the doo-doo out of his ex-father-in-law. So that's ugly stuff. I'll give you more details a little later on this hour. Congrats to Houston High's Mason Miller, committed to Creighton last night. Seems like a perfect fit. I'll tell you why just before 5 o'clock at the college football playoff rankings. Will make their debut tonight, a little after 6 o'clock on ESPN. I'll tell you the way the experts think it's going to look during four notable stories at 4:44. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins, just like always, then I'll eventually do dinner to go and get on out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I wanted to start with college basketball because it is the eve of the start of the 2020-21 season. At this moment, Penny's Tigers are still expected to open tomorrow at 1 o'clock against St. Mary's in South Dakota on ESPN2, which means the initial round of testing for Memphis' traveling party went well. If you get a positive test once you get there, you go home. That's what happened to Wichita State this morning. Mm-hmm. They flew to Sioux Falls, these guys. Imagine poor Wichita State. Yeah. These guys lost their coach. Now they can't even play in Sioux Falls, but they still traveled to Sioux Falls. So they fly to Sioux Falls. They get to the facility. Everybody has to take a COVID test. They had multiple tests come back positive, so you got to go home. Shockers are out of the crossover classic back in Wichita. They were replaced by VCU in the half of the bracket opposite Memphis and St. Mary's. And, you know, I've had a few people ask about St. Mary's because though it is a consistently good program, it's not something your average Memphian is going to follow too closely. Here's what you need to know about the Gaels, Memphis's opponent tomorrow afternoon, assuming all goes well between now and tomorrow afternoon. They went 26-8 last season, and incredibly, four of their eight losses were to projected number one seeds in the NCAA tournament. Literally half their losses were to projected number one seeds. They lost three times to Gonzaga, once to Dayton. They were a projected eight seed in the NCAA tournament. So they were good last season, but the top three scorers from that team are gone, most notably Jordan Ford and Malik Fitz. So they return nobody who averaged more than 6.6 points or 3.6 rebounds per game last season. They are 74th at KenPom heading into this season. They were picked third in the West Coast Conference preseason poll behind Gonzaga and BYU. So they're not great, but they are respectable. And Randy Bennett is a top-shelf X's and O's coach. So this probably won't be easy. You know, for what it's worth, KenPom projects a final score tomorrow of Memphis 71, St. Mary's 67. So unless the game goes in a way that the computers do not anticipate, you will probably be at the under four timeout in the second half in a tight game. We'll see. But again, the projected final score at KenPom is Memphis 71, St. Mary's 67. On Thursday, the Tigers are, no matter whether they win or lose, they will play either Northern Iowa or Western Kentucky. And both of those teams, like St. Mary's, I'd call them not great, but good enough to beat you. Northern Iowa is 76 at KenPom. Western Kentucky is 79. So both in the top 80 at KenPom. And it should be noted, I don't know if people realize this, Western Kentucky has a great player in Charles Bassey. Now, we don't need to get into why he's at Western Kentucky or how he ended up at Western Kentucky, but he's at Western Kentucky, and he was ranked sixth overall in the class of 2018. The top six players in the class of 2018, RJ Barrett, Cam Reddish, Nasir Little, Bol Bol, Zion Williamson, and Charles Bassey. Those are the top six players from the class of 2018. Charles Bassey is the only one of those players not already in the NBA. So Charles Bassey, who again might play against Memphis on Thursday, is the highest rated prospect from the class of 2018 who is still playing college basketball. And the reason he's still playing college basketball is because he suffered a fractured tibia last December. He only played 10 games. Gruesome injury. He averaged 15 points and 9 rebounds in those 10 games, but once he fractured his tibia in December, he was done for the season. But now he's back, and if Memphis does end up playing Western Kentucky on Thursday, Charles Bassey might be, with all due respect to all of the Tigers, Charles Bassey might be the best player on the court. So St. Mary's tomorrow, assuming everybody stays healthy between now and then, and then on Thursday, either Northern Iowa or Western Kentucky. And again, those teams are very, very similar. You and I, not similar in style, but similar in the sense that they are, in the computers, the same caliber team. Northern Iowa, 76 at KenPom. Western Kentucky, 79th. I was on a Zoom call with Penny Hardaway earlier today, and there were a couple of interesting notes from that. First, he did confirm that everybody is on the trip and healthy enough to play, except for Ahmad Rand, the junior college transfer who was left here in Memphis because of contact tracing. Penny made it clear that it wasn't a situation where Ahmad Rand tested positive. It was a situation where somebody who Ahmad Rand had a close contact with tested positive. That means he automatically has to go in quarantine. He could not travel with the team. The only other player he mentioned that has any sort of limitation is Lester Quinones, that he's got a lingering knee issue. Tendinitis is the word that he used. Said it is bothersome enough to where it's worth mentioning he's dealing with it, but it is not to the extent where he's going to not play. He will play, I would assume, start tomorrow, but certainly play even if he comes off the bench, but could be limited by what Penny Hardaway described as tendinitis. And then the second thing that came up, for about the 20th time over the past month, is the DeAndre Williams situation. You know, Penny once again acknowledged that, listen, we got the waiver request in a little later than normal, so the NCAA is dealing with that, you know, in whatever time frame they're dealing with it. But we are still hopeful, this is what Penny said, that DeAndre will get a waiver and possibly be able to play as soon as tomorrow. And by the way, like, the NCAA is giving out waivers, like, on the day before the start of the regular season. Andrew Nembhard, who transferred from Florida to Gonzaga, who, by the way, initially didn't even want to play immediately, got a waiver today to play immediately. That was announced by Gonzaga. So now the Zags, who were already preseason number one, just added to their roster somebody who started like 60 games at Florida the past couple of seasons. So, you know, the best team in the country on paper gets better today because of a transfer waiver. Now Memphis is among the short list of schools that are still waiting on one. At Oregon, LJ Figueroa still has not got one either, and that one makes no sense to me. LJ Figueroa, for people who don't know, he was like a 15-point-per-game scorer at St. John's, transferred to Oregon this offseason, and I thought that would be the easiest transfer waiver in the history of the world, because all you had to say, at least in theory, was I was going to school in New York City. New York City was shut down. COVID was running rampant, and I wanted to get out of New York City because I feared for my health. Like, that should be like stamped, you're ready to go. Here we are day before the start of the college basketball season. LJ Figueroa still does not have a transfer waiver, just like DeAndre Williams at Memphis still does not have a transfer waiver. I'm not real sure, if I'm being honest, what the holdup is with Figueroa, but with DeAndre Williams, it seems to be crystal clear. Evansville did not cooperate the way Evansville should have cooperated. And it's a real shame and a reflection of that athletic director who has done this to student athletes before. Now, I know what he would tell you. He would say that DeAndre Williams' transfer waiver application suggested that the reason he left our school is because the scholarship was not available for him at our school. And I'm not going to sign off on that because it's just not true. If DeAndre Williams wanted to be on scholarship at Evansville, he could be on scholarship at Evansville. So I'm not going to lie for him. So I support his desire to play immediately, but I'm not going to lie for him so that he can play immediately. And I guess on one hand, if you just want to dig your heels in and say, this is the way he described it, I'm not going to sign off on a false statement. I'm not intentionally trying to prevent him from playing at Memphis this season, but I'm not going to lie for him or anybody else. If you want to dig your heels in, die on that hill, I guess you can. I guess I would just counter with this. Do whatever you need to do. If you're really about student athletes, you just do whatever you need to do to get this done. That's what most college coaches are doing around the country. the way it's working in the middle of a pandemic with the transfer rule set to change in January anyway. Like, keep in mind, nobody will ever have to go through what DeAndre Williams is going through right now ever again. The people who transfer after this season, they won't need a waiver to play immediately. They will automatically be allowed to play immediately. So what DeAndre Williams at Memphis, LJ Figueroa at Oregon are going through right now is something that no basketball player will have to go through next year or the year after or the year after or the year after unless they change the rule back, which I can't imagine they would. So if you can acknowledge that and recognize we're in the middle of a pandemic, for crying out loud, if I were the Evansville athletic director and what most athletic directors and college basketball coaches are doing, just what, tell me what I need to say to help you and I'll help you. Like, it should really be that simple. If you are about the student athletes, hey, what do you need me to do? I need the NCAA has made it clear. If you say I didn't have a spot at Evansville for whatever reason, they will give me a waiver to play immediately. Okay, sure, whatever. You didn't have a spot at Evansville. Like, what does it matter?
It doesn't.
Why? It doesn't matter. Why is that? Well, I can't actually say. Just like if you are really sincerely about the student athlete, and every athletic director says he is, and every basketball coach says he is, then you just do whatever you need to do to get this thing done. Like, we've all done that in our own life. Like, I've asked people, you know. People have asked me for things before, and I, you know, like it could be with college credit stuff. You know, we've had interns at 92.9 or at CBS Sports where for them to get proper credit, they need me or somebody else to fill out some paperwork saying that they did A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Now, did they always do A, B, C, D, E, F, G? Maybe not. Maybe so, maybe not. But at the end of the day, you know what I have always asked the person? What do you need me to do? You need these college credits. It's important to you. I want to help you. What do I need to do? And you just do it. It's that simple. If you're really about helping people, you say, what do I need to do? Like, why do I care if you actually had a scholarship at Evansville available to you or not? I say I'm about student athletes. I say I want to help you. Well, this is what I got to say to help you. Well, then fine. I'll say it. Give me the piece of paper. I'll sign it. That's what most college coaches are doing right now. It's what most athletic directors are doing right now. Memphis did everything it was asked to do to help Tyler Harris get eligible immediately at Iowa State, to help Ryan Boyce get immediate eligibility as well. And so Penny, while discussing this earlier today, said, yeah, it's frustrating. You know, we did right by the players who were leaving us. So why aren't the other schools doing right by the players that left them? And the truth is, most of them are, but Evansville isn't. And if DeAndre Williams isn't on the court Wednesday, Thursday, or in Memphis's final game in the Crossover Classic, there will be one person to blame, and that is the athletic director at Evansville. Again, you want to die on this hill, die on this hill, but it's just a really, really bad look, especially when you were employing a coach in Walter McCarty who was accused of inappropriate behavior. Like, it should be enough for DeAndre Williams just to say, I went to play at a school whose coach was fired for inappropriate behavior, and then I just wanted to get out of that environment. Like, that should be enough. But if it wasn't, then, hey, I'm the athletic director. Tell me what I need to do, and we'll do it. That's what I would do if I were the Evansville athletic director. Problem, of course, is that the Evansville athletic director won't do it. Dana O'Neill covers college basketball for The Athletic. Everybody had a theory heading into this season about how we should approach it. Mine was conference-only schedules, preferably in a bubble, starting in January, because I wanted to avoid the mess that we are going through right now. What was Dana O'Neill's theory to the best approach to start this season? I'll ask her next. You listen to the Gary Parrish Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Howie, can we count on the Robert Irwin Jewelers Black Friday sale with free gifts this weekend?
Of course. Starting with a purchase of $199 or more, you're going to get great gifts like the Amazon Echo or the Fire Stick or even Apple AirPods.
Doorbusters?
Yeah, 1-carat diamond solitaire earrings, $999. A 5-carat diamond tennis bracelet, $39.99.
Early bird special?
Yeah, with any purchase, free heart-shaped pendant and earring set while supplies last. Free financing, bigger, brighter diamonds, Robert Irwin Jewelers, 5 locations or online at rijewelers.com.
Looking for a new ride to celebrate the end of 2020? We got it at Gossett Kia's holiday sales event. Command the season and you'll find what you want, need, and love at Gossett Kia on Covington Pike. 2020 Kia Forte, $133 a month lease. 2021 Kia Soul, $148 a month lease. Plus 2021 Kia K5, $189 per month lease. All 36 months, $3149 due at signing. And don't miss 2020 Kia K900. We Gossett at $10,000 off MSRP. You want it? We Gossett at Gossett Kia 1900 Covington Pike or shop 24/7 KiaCovingtonPike.com. Ask for Bobby J. He'll put you in a new Kia today.
All 36 month leases, $31.49 due at signing, zero security deposit, 10,000 miles per year, 20 cents excess mileage, $6.50 acquisition fee, Forte, LE 242-174, MSRP 20,505, Soul, M77-55-682, MSRP 20,315, K5, MG00-3199, MSRP 25725, K900, MSRP 65610, L602690, L602120, includes all rebates and incentives, PF695, excludes tax title and license with approved credit offer valid through 11/30/2020, dealer stock only, warranty is a limited powertrain warranty, see Kia.com or retailer for details.
Make your betting better. BetQL helps you identify winning bets without having to do the work. Follow the sharp money, track real-time line movement, and get access to the data the sports books don't want you to see. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com.
At Charmin, we heard you shouldn't talk about going to the bathroom in public, so we decided to sing about it.
Get ultra strong for your South Pole. Charmin keeps your undies whiter than the North Pole. Shiny, hiney, a brand new year. Call it a Charmin, happy new year.
May your holidays be Charmin, clean, merry, and bright. May all your undies be Charmin, clean, white.
Charmin Ultra Strong just cleans better. Enjoy the go with Charmin.
With over 1 million miles raced.
Go, go, go. Woo!
There's only one thing you can say about the amazing race.
We're larger than life.
With more intense competitions,
anything can happen. You can go from first to last in a heartbeat.
I'm just so tired.
We came here to win this competition.
And more exotic locations.
We're in the Amazon.
The world awaits.
Amazing.
On The Amazing Race. New Wednesday at 8, 7 Central on CBS.
This holiday season, Old Dominic, your favorite hometown brand, invites you to enjoy their Memphis Toddy, the first bottled cocktail. It's a special family recipe that dates back to pre-Prohibition. Complex botanicals and spices are infused with Old Dominic's high rye heritage bourbon to create a flavor unlike any other. Memphis Toddy is a spirit that's made to be shared with the ones you hold dear at this year's holiday parties and get-togethers. It's fantastic served with warm cider as that extra something in your eggnog or simply poured over ice. It's a whiskey that pairs perfectly with fall and winter. And if you're looking for a truly enjoyable gift this year, Hewling Station small batch whiskeys from Old Dominic are sure to bring a smile. A high rye bourbon, a light sweet approachable wheat whiskey, and a perfect blend of the two. Give one or all three. It's a great gift for all whiskey lovers. For the holidays, follow Old Dominic on Facebook and Instagram for the latest info, news releases, and cocktail recipes. Visit anytime at olddominic.com. Happy holidays from Old Dominic.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Stretch my hands to you.
Life like, this is what your life like. Try to live your life right. People really know you push your buttons like type right. This is like a movie, but it's really very lifelike. Every single night, right? Every
Tom Brady night, threw right. His ninth interception of the season last night. That's more than he threw all last season. And Bennett's lock of the night, Daryl Henderson over 32 rushing yards, did not even come close to coming true. We'll get into Monday Night Football in the next segment. Jeff Coggins will join me a little after 5 o'clock, but right now she is a senior writer for The Athletic covering college basketball. It's Dana O'Neill. Please make her the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parish Show Big Interview. Presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar. Using food and wine to create memorable times.
So, Dana, I was talking in the last segment that everybody who has a job like you and I have, had an opinion about how we should approach a college basketball season in the middle of a pandemic. Mine was conference-only schedules, maybe starting in January, preferably in a bubble, but I'm willing to discuss. Rick Pitino says push the whole thing back and let's have an NCAA tournament in May. What was your opinion about how we should actually approach this chaotic season?
Yeah, I kind of waffled because I think at first I thought this would actually not be a bad idea, trying to get some non-conference games in and figure it out. But obviously, while we're getting closer to this, I feel like honestly, the idea to me right now would have to play conference only somehow. Whether you start playing them now or in January, I don't really care. If you want to use now because there's no students on campus for the month of December, I think that's fine. But I would just think right now you've got to be in a group where everybody's following the same protocols and you can kind of control what you can control. And I think what you're seeing right now is everyone's got different rules and they're all zipping around the country and it's not working. I would have said, hey, December, let's say, all right, you're in the, in the Big Ten, Ohio State, you're going to go out and play Wisconsin. You're going to play them Friday, Sunday. You're going to come back, hang out for a bit, and then someone's going to come out to you Friday, Sunday and see what we can do. It also would be equitable or close to, I guess, for the NCAA selection committee. But that, to me, is the only thing you can do. Just control what you can control.
I was pessimistic that it would go well, optimistic that we would start and eventually finish, but pessimistic that it would go well. And I think as we're sitting here on the eve of the start of the season, it's going more poorly than I anticipated. Scott Drew is in isolation. Rick Barnes is in isolation. We've lost several marquee games, before the season even got started. Has it been bumpier, over the past few days than even you thought it might be?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I guess maybe foolishly, I thought we would pull some of this off because they've been sort of isolating on their campuses. I really did not see this happening. I thought maybe, honestly, next week, the week after, all right, after we play a little bit, we're going to have a few bumps and stuff along the road, but we can't even get them to the games. I know some coaches are blaming it on the regular students on campus, too many Friendsgiving parties and things like that. Maybe that's the case. I have no idea, but I do know that right now it is a hot mess. I mean, like you said, we're all excited for all these great big games between teams, and no one's playing. I mean, I thought I was going to the Baylor-Seton Hall game, and Baylor's not coming, so therefore I'm not going. And I don't know if this is just the beginning of what it's going to actually be like the whole season, or if this is just a really ugly start, and eventually it'll work itself out. I'm hoping for the latter. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I am too. I'm talking to Dana O'Neill from The Athletic. I know you were on the phone earlier this week with Tom Izzo, another coach who has tested positive. And when I heard about Tom's positive test, you get a little more concerned than you might get when it's a 30-year-old, because Tom is 65 years old and, according to the CDC, in the high-risk category. When you talked to Tom, what did he tell you about his experience with this virus?
Yeah, I mean, he said he was quick to, make sure I understood. Look, I wasn't in the hospital. I wasn't in danger of going in the hospital, but he said he couldn't shake it. He said he had lingering side effects. He had a cough that he couldn't quite get rid of. He had a low fever that he couldn't quite get rid of. He had a kind of a low-grade headache that he couldn't quite get rid of, and it just tired him out. And, he was frustrated, and he wasn't, debilitated. He could walk. He could, get around the house or whatever. But he kept saying, it's no joke. Anybody who thinks it's a joke, they have no idea. And he said, I had a mild, mild case, and it knocked me for a decent loop. So, and he was lucky. It was a mild case. So you can only multiply that times 50 and know what it really feels like. So, yeah, I think, that's the hard part is, like you said, a lot of our coaches are older. I mean, let's not – you got to call it as it is. And their assistant coaches are older. And it gets a little scary. It really does.
I was really worried about when I heard Jim Boeheim had tested positive. He's a 76-year-old cancer survivor. He is now out of isolation, back in practice, is my understanding. So that's incredible news. But my biggest fear connected to this season is that one of our older coaches is going to get this virus and end up, on a ventilator. And then I think that'll be the point where we really start asking big questions about should we have really been doing this.
Yeah, I've said that all along. I said I don't want anything bad to happen to anybody, of course, but my biggest fear is that something bad's going to happen to a coach, to a player, something bad's going to happen, and then we're all going to be like, oh, right, this is why we shouldn't have done it. I hope we don't get to that point for 1,000 reasons, but it's really hard not to think that way when you just you know, we're seeing more and more coaches. I mean, Rick Barnes is no spring chicken. You know, he acts like he's 35, but he's not. So this is kind of what we're facing right now.
Talking to Dana O'Neill from The Athletic. She's on Twitter at Dana O'Neill Writer. Let's talk actual basketball. Gonzaga is the preseason number one, and they just got better today with a waiver being granted for Andrew Nembhard. I saw your tweet, and for people who don't know, he's a Florida transfer, former starter for the Gators for two seasons. I saw your tweet. You were at Gonzaga in Spokane recently, and even though the Zags have a five-star freshman guard in Jalen Suggs, you said Andrew Nembhard was the best guard in the building that day. How much better on paper do you think he makes the Zags?
Oh, my gosh. Just huge. I mean, look, I mean, Jalen Suggs is going to be terrific, and he is good. I'm certainly not saying that he wasn't good the day that we went, but, you know, there's just something to be said for a guy who knows what he's doing and who's a little bit older, and Jalen Suggs is just still trying to figure things out. You know, Mark Hugh made a point to say that, as did Corey Kispert, that the Zags, what they do, what they run is complicated, and when you're the point guard, it's like throwing a lot at a kid, so he was a little overwhelmed at the jump. Not bad by any stretch, but Andrew Nembhard was just old, and he knew what he was doing, and he was mature, and he fit in, and he was making every shot that he could throw up there, and he just fit in seamlessly. I was really like, wow, this could be something. And at the time, they told me that he had applied for the waiver, but they weren't really sure if he was going to get it, and he was cool with it. He's like, I came here thinking I'd probably sit out. If I sit out, that's cool. And now, lo and behold, on the eve of the season, they just got that much better. I think, you know, you have him, Suggs, and you have Aaron Cook as a grad transfer, you got some guys that can lead this team.
So Andrew Nembhard gets the waiver granted today. Meantime, Memphis is still waiting on a waiver for DeAndre Williams, the transfer from Evansville. Mm-hmm. And while these things are always complicated, my understanding from people connected to the Memphis program is that, you know, the athletic director at Evansville, Mark Spencer, simply has not done what is necessary for DeAndre Williams to be eligible at Memphis this season so far. You know, Memphis fans are frustrated with that. Should Memphis fans be frustrated mm-hmm. with that?
Well, I mean, you know, I think these things are complicated. Yeah, I think we always presume that everyone kind of crosses the T's and dots the I's on both sides, and you kind of think that that's probably what should happen, in my opinion. I just feel like if a kid wants to go, like, just file the paperwork and get it done and let him go. You know, and we've seen so many of these been okay, so I can see where you'd be frustrated. I think you probably just have to ride the wave a little bit. But, yeah, I honestly think even before COVID, I always felt like, you know what, if a kid wants to go, just don't be a jerk. Just work it out. Like, help him out. Because you don't want him to stay. I mean, do you want him to stay and be miserable? So I've always been of the mindset, like, just help. There's nothing to be gained by standing in the kid's way, if you ask me. And there's nothing to be gained by just dragging your feet or just not getting things done properly either. I mean, it's paperwork. I get it. But do the right thing.
Gonzaga is number one in the AP poll, number one in my top 25 and one, but reasonable people mm-hmm. could disagree on who should actually be atop any rankings heading into this season. There's four teams that I think most people consider as reasonable possibilities: Gonzaga, Baylor, Virginia, and then the school you used to cover on a daily basis, a school you know better than anybody else, Villanova. Jay's got an opportunity to become just the seventh coach in Division I men's basketball history to win at least three national titles. And if he were to do it, he would do it in a span of five tournaments. As someone who used to cover that program every day, how remarkable is it to watch it turn into what it has turned into in these past few years?
It's insane, honestly. I mean, you know, when Jay got hired at Villanova, he was the hot Hofstra coach, and everyone was super excited to have him. But I remember going with him, like, and he went to, like, the dining halls on campus and jumped on top of tables trying to get kids to come watch the team. Like, please, come. Support us. Like, we're going to be decent. And then they weren't. Like, they went to the NIT for 3 years. They had all kinds of issues. People here were kind of getting impatient, like, oh, he's an empty suit. He's not – he looks pretty. He doesn't know how to coach. And all of a sudden, it's like, bam. Like, here he is. He's not only – mastered the way he wants to coach, he's mastered the way, really, I think, the formula for winning in this era of college basketball, which is get really good players and find a way to stay old. And that's what he does. And, yeah, I mean, if Sadiq Bey was on this team, if he hadn't gone pro, they'd be, like, to me, like the 2018 team, like that good. Like, just they're going to win another one. Like, this just – they would absolutely. Right now, I think you're right. I think Baylor, Gonzaga, Villanova, and Virginia are the logical choices. But, I mean, Villanova has lost nobody other than Bay to the NBA. And it is mind-boggling to see what he's managed to do at a school that, you know, look, it's Villanova. It's a tiny little Catholic school outside of Philly. It doesn't have big Boku bucks. It doesn't have the bells and whistles that people tend to think of. It's not a, quote, blue blood, but that's all they do is win. It's ridiculous.
Talking to Dana O'Neill from The Athletic. She is on Twitter at Dana O'Neill Writer. Virginia is another team that I mentioned. They could technically be back-to-back national champions, given that we didn't have an NCAA tournament last season. What do you, you know, Tony is a little bit like Jay in the sense that he has built this thing into something that you can reliably assume is going to be at the top of college basketball. I know Virginia struggled most of last season, but, you know, I think they won eight straight to close the regular season, so they were headed in the right direction. What do you make of the Virginia Cavaliers?
Yeah, I think, you know what, look, I mean, people love to talk about the pack line and the system that Tony plays, and that's certainly part of it. I mean, it makes them different and it makes them difficult. But the reason, I mean, he gets really good players, and he knows what he wants to do, too. I mean, yeah, no, look, adding Sam Hauser this year is huge. I mean, you need a guy that can score. So I think that's the game changer for Virginia right now. I think, you know, Jay Huff has to kind of come around a little bit more than he did last year, for sure. But I just think there are teams that you know every year that eventually they're going to figure it out, and Virginia is one of them. I mean, I just think no matter what they might look like early, they eventually figure out what they're supposed to do because Tony is so clear about what it is that he wants to do and how he wants to play, and he doesn't fluctuate. I think that to me, you know, all the teams we're talking about at the top, that's who they are. They're very, very clear in who they are. They're not the same. They're not at all the same, but they're very clear in their identity and how they want to coach and how they want to grow. They're patient. And that's why they're good. I mean, I don't think it's complicated sometimes. People like to make it complicated. I really don't think it is.
Wrapping up here with Dana O'Neill from The Athletic. Last thing before I let you go. I mentioned earlier Rick Pitino has suggested that we move the NCAA tournament back a couple of months, give the vaccine a chance. As a CBS employee, I'm hesitant to speak on what we should do with the NCAA tournament because it's my bosses who might demand that it has to be played in March. But I do recognize that there has been incredibly positive news on the vaccine front recently, and there's at least a scenario where pulling off a tournament in May could be quite easier than trying to pull it off in March. Do you think there's actually a chance we push this thing back a month or two or three?
I mean, is there a chance? Yes. Do I think that that's the likelihood? No. I think the NCAA would like very much to have their tournament when they have their tournament at all times. I mean, for 1,000 reasons. One, for the complications of other, you know, TV inventory that they're going to back into if they don't have it in March on CBS. Number two, for, you know, players who are seniors who want to be drafted and declare and get all this nonsense done. Number three, for continuity. Is that probably on Dan Gavitt's, like, 300 spreadsheets of how we can play this thing? Yeah, maybe. But honestly, I don't think anybody wants to move off of March. I don't think anybody wants to move off of 64 or 68 teams, as it were. But nothing can be said. You can't say anything is impossible right now because we just don't know. I think Dan Gavitt's point has been, and I don't think it's a bad one, is like, look, yeah, we can roll the dice and push things back. We aren't promised that things are going to be better in January and February. We're hopeful, but we aren't promised. So we could wait, and then we're right back where we started from. So then what have you done? You've pushed the season back 2 months, and you still don't have the season.
That is Dana O'Neill from The Athletic. Make sure you're reading her at The Athletic and following her on Twitter at Dana O'Neill Writer. Dana, thank you for your time. I know how busy you are. I appreciate it, and I hope to see you soon.
Thanks, Gary. You too. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. That's Dana O'Neill from The Athletic. When we come back, Bennett had his lock of the night yesterday. It was Darrell Henderson, over 32 and a half rushing yards, I think it might
That's
have
right.
been.
Yep.
By the time I checked my book, it was up to 35, so I was like, oh, I'll just stay away from it. And thank God I did, because Bennett's lock of the night did not work out so well. I don't know who had a worse night, Bennett, Darrell Henderson, or Tom Brady. We'll talk Monday Night Football next. Listen to the Gary Parrish Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
So I can't wait for Thanksgiving, one of my favorite days of the year, ready to eat a bunch of food and watch football all day long. And now that I can bet all the games on FanDuel Sportsbook, it just makes the day even better. If you've never bet on FanDuel before, now is the perfect time to give it a shot because they're giving new users a 25-1 odds boost on any NFL game Thanksgiving Day. That means you can bet $5 to win $125. And I'm loving this Steelers-Ravens game. The Ravens are going to be missing a lot of players, it looks like, if they end up playing this game. I love those 25-1 odds on the Steelers. I think they roll against the Ravens on Thanksgiving night. And you're going to love FanDuel. Offers like these are just one of the reasons they are America's number one sportsbook app. It's easy to use, safe, and secure. And when you win money, FanDuel pays out your money fast. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Sign up with promo code Bennett, B-E-N-N-E-T-T, so they know I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code Bennett. Bennett. 21 plus, present in Tennessee. New users only. Must wager on designated boost market. Deposit required. Max bonus $125. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
The Black Friday sales event is on at Gossett Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Fiat on Covington Pike. And we're going to blow you away with what you save. 2020 Jeep Renegade Latitude 4-wheel drive IIHS top safety pick. We Gossett at $20,736 or $259 a month. Or power up your game in a 2020 Dodge Charger, 24,320 or $299 a month. And get rammed up in a 2020 Ram 1500 Tradesman Crew Cab 4x2, $29,656 or $396 a month. And 2020 Jeep Grand Cherokee Laredo 4x2, $29,878 or $398 a month. Drive past the rest. Come to the best. Gossett Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Fiat 1901 Covington Pike. Online, gossettmotorcars.net.
If you want it, we got it at Gossett Motor.
All must finance through Chrysler, 3,500 cash down, 75 months at 4.11 APR, Renegade, LPM 02132, MSRP 26580, Charger, LH167053, MSRP 31490, Tradesman, LG29329, MSRP 37855, Cherokee, LC403192, MSRP 35495, includes all rebates and incentives, PF 695, excludes tax title and license, see dealer for complete details, offer valid through 11/30/2020 with approved credit, dealer stock only.
Make your holiday season merry and bright with the perfect gifts from Sissy's Log Cabin. From exclusive designer jewelry to one-of-a-kind pieces, you can find gifts for everyone on your list, all while enjoying the spectacular Sissy's experience that has made the holidays magical for half a century. Shop with us in-store, virtually, or online, and put a bow on your holiday shopping with the best prices guaranteed. Only at Sissy's Log Cabin, because life's too short for ordinary jewelry.
All 36-month leases, $31.49 due at signing, zero security deposit, 10,000 miles per year, 20 cents excess mileage, 650 acquisition fee, Forte, LE242174, MSRP 20,505, sold, M7755682, MSRP 20,315, K5, MG00399, MSRP 25725, K900, MSRP 65610, L602697, L602120, includes all rebates and incentives, PF695, excludes tax title and license with approved credit offer valid through 11/30/2020, dealer stock only, warranty is a limited powertrain warranty, see Kia.com or retailer for details.
It's time for the Kia holiday sales event and time to command the season in your new ride from Gossett Kia South on Mount Moriah. 2020 Kia Forte, just $133 a month lease. 2021 Kia Soul, only $148 a month lease. Plus 2021 Kia K5, only $189 a month lease. And they're all 36 months, $31.49 due at signing. And don't miss the 2020 Kia K900. We got it at $10,000 off MSRP. So whether you live in Horn Lake, South Haven, Olive Branch, or Memphis, you'll be happy, happy at Gossett Kia, 2680 Mount Moriah, or KiaMoriah.com.
If you want it, we got it at Gossett Motor.
What's in store this holiday at your local Staples?
7 days of Black Friday deals on the hottest brands.
Kick off your holiday shopping at Staples, where you'll find the best gifts for working or learning from home.
Like Apple AirPods, great for video conferences or online classes.
And now at Staples, Apple AirPods with wireless charging case are just $119.
Shop in store or pick up curbside.
The most wonderful deals of the year are at Staples this holiday.
Ends 11/28, in store only, limit 2, while supplies last, curbside available in most stores.
How would you like the chance to win a truckload of DeWalt tools, plus the truck they came in? Yeah, we thought so. Don't miss Lowe's Provember event. Now through November 25th, you could win a set of 18 DeWalt tools worth over $3,000. And the truck? A 2021 Chevy Silverado. Enter for your chance to win at lowesforpros.com/provember. Lowe's, the new home for pros. No purchase necessary. Starts 10/28, ends 11/25. LFP membership required. U.S. only. Entry rules on lowesforpros.com/provember.
Your CBD store, Millington, has so many award-winning CBD products. It's a different store for everyone. For you, it's a rest better store. While for your cousin, it's an everything is under control store. And for grandpa, it's a meet me on the tennis court because it's time for an whipping store. Again, it serves different purposes for different people.
even fired up Gramps. Your CBD store, award-winning products for a balanced life. Visit your nearest location today. Your CBD store, Millington, 8570 South, Highway 51 North, Suite 107, next to Huey's.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
The God Killer, this Tokyo and I'm Godzilla. Playing blackjack versus death gun on the card dealer. Just bought a demon, I'm screaming about the card dealer. The last temptation of Mike, but I'm a God figure. Tell me as a bob that the God don't need a
Memphis
job.
Memphis known for its barbecue, but only one Memphis area restaurant actually serves world championship barbecue, and that's Memphis Barbecue Company, owned by Melissa Cookston, who is an eight-time world champion and the first woman ever inducted into the Barbecue Hall of Fame. So, needless to say, the barbecue at Memphis Barbecue Company is great. But did you realize Memphis Barbecue Company is way more than just barbecue? They have a full menu for everybody to enjoy. They have fried catfish, grilled salmon, grilled chicken, incredible smoked wings. You can see the menu online and even make a pickup order at MemphisBBQCO.com. That's MemphisBBQCO.com. Also, understand that you can allow Memphis Barbecue Company to handle your Thanksgiving dinner. They have double smoked hams with house-made glaze and pecan smoked turkeys. They have pans of dressing plus homemade pumpkin pie with sugar pecans and caramel sauce. It's all terrific. You can call the store to order. It's not too late. 662-536-3763. 662-536-3763. You can order online at MemphisBBQCO.com and a manager will call to set up your pickup times. I know there are a lot of families out there who would normally be going to mom's house, dad's house, grandma's house, grandpa's house, and you don't have to worry about the cooking of the food because, like, grandma's got it. But in the middle of a pandemic, maybe you're choosing not to have a traditional family Thanksgiving. So now you're stuck at your house. You still need Thanksgiving food, but who's going to cook it? The Memphis Barbecue Company. Again, 662-536-3763. They're on the web, MemphisBBQCO.com. Jeff Cock is going to join me a little after 5 o'clock. Right now, though, I got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four notable stories at 444. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's four notable stories at 444. Story number one.
So we had Monday Night Football last night. It was Rams-Bucks. On paper, fun game, I guess. Fun game, but not for Tom Brady. He was terrible. 26 of 48, 216 yards, two touchdowns, two picks, 62.5 rating, and the Buccaneers lose 27-24 at home to the Rams. That was the big story. The second biggest story of the night, Bennett's lock of the night.
Yes.
Tell me about your lock of the night.
Well, here's the thing, and in fairness, we gave out multiple locks. One of them was the Rams money line, which was a lock. Darrell Henderson, I believe, to start the night, it was 32.5 over under 32.5 yards, and I said you have to take the over there because he's been awesome. Of course, he's going to have over 32.5 rushing yards, and he did not come close.
He had 5 yards.
Dude, and here's the thing, is it set up perfectly. Rams get the second half lead. There, it's a, you know, the first half was actually good. They put up a lot of points. Then the second half is just all defense, and the Rams have the lead. And so my thought going into it was like, okay, if I think the Rams are going to win, well, they're going to get the lead, and they're going to run the ball a bunch in the second half. And they tried to run the ball a bunch in the second half, and it did not work.
He carried the ball 8 times for 5 yards. His average yard per carry was 0.6. You know how hard that is?
Dude.
0.6.
And the thing is like, I could tell, like, especially when we got into the second half, like, he was literally getting stuffed, like, behind the line of scrimmage every single time he touched the ball. I was like, okay, this is not going to happen.
You know, the Rams only ran as a team for 37 yards, and Tampa Bay only ran for 42. So the two teams had 38 carries for 79 yards. The truth is nobody could run the ball.
No.
But at least the Rams could throw the ball. Jared Goff was actually pretty good. You know, 39 of 51, yep. 3 touchdowns. He did have the 2 picks, but he had a rating of 99.8. Again, Tom Brady's was 62.5. So Goff was better than Brady. I'll just tell you, as a fellow 43-year-old, it's hard out there, man.
It's hard being 43.
Dude, the thing, I mean, I think that the Rams are actually a legit team. Like, that team is for real. I think people have been kind of uncertain about them, like, all season just because of how it went last year. But, like, they're the real deal. And, yeah, I mean, it's Brady's had – he's had really good games, so it's hard to just say, well, he's older, so – you know, it's maybe it's starting to decline, but like last night, yeah, he definitely looked old and not the same.
Like the interceptions were just awful.
They were bad.
I mean, he just threw, he couldn't get the ball where he was trying.
The last interception was like, well, I mean, what was that? Like, who? I don't know what he thought was going to happen there.
If you'll notice, I watched the entire game. While I was doing other things, preparing for this radio show. So I wasn't like dialed into each play, but I watched the entire game and I didn't tweet a single word because I'm not going to be the guy out there tweeting Tom Brady's watch, Tom Brady's sucks.
Right.
Because like people have been doing that to him for like, you know, 3 years now. And then he comes back and he looks like, you know, the GOAT Tom Brady. So I'm not going to fall into that trap, but I will say he looked awful last night. Mm. It doesn't mean that he won't look great next game, but he was really bad last night. Could not throw the ball down the field. So now the Bucs are 7-4 overall, 3-2 at home. Rams are 7-3. And I'm with you. I think people who listen to the show regularly know I don't have a favorite NFL team. Like, I just, you know, in the NBA, I root for the Grizzlies because it's Memphis. Mm-hmm. I'm a lifelong Mets fan. But in the NFL, I just do not have, you know, at the collegiate level, I want my alma mater to do well, both in men's basketball and football and anything else they compete in. But in the NFL, I just do not have, never had a favorite team, and I do not have a favorite team. I do like the Rams for whatever reason. I don't know if it's because I like Sean McVay seems like a sharp guy. Like, I'm impressed by smart people. He seems like a smart football coach. You know, when we talked yesterday that Dabo's an incredible football coach but seems a little bit like a dum-dum? Like, Sean McVay strikes me as an incredible football coach who's also a really smart guy. He seems sharp. And so maybe that's it. He seems sharp, so I like him. Daryl Henderson's there, so that helps. Mm-hmm. The colors are cool. I like the colors.
The uniforms are sharp. They've done a great job. Those new ones that they're rolling out, I like those.
Yeah, so I don't want to pretend like I'm out, you know, wearing LA Rams gear. I'm not. But I do find myself often going, hey, you know, I hope they win this game for whatever reason. Mm. So they did well last night down in Florida, and Tom Brady has had his arm strength question all day today on television.
Story number two.
Tampa Bay Rays outfielder Randy Arozarena has been detained in Mexico's Yucatan State for a situation involving allegations of domestic abuse. The prosecutor's office there has confirmed that he was detained for, quote, problems relating to his ex-partner. The details out of Mexico are ugly, and I'm only bringing this up because Arozarena is somebody we talked about a lot last month on this radio show because he was the star of the Major League Baseball playoffs, and he's a former Memphis Redbird. Like, he played mm-hmm. 2 seasons inside AutoZone Park and then really came mostly out of nowhere to, like, set actual MLB postseason records. And so he was going to enter next baseball season as one of the bigger names in the sport because of what he did on the big stage that the postseason provides. And now, given the way Major League Baseball handles allegations of domestic violence, he probably will be suspended, perhaps for the entire year. The allegations are that he tried to kidnap his daughter from his ex-partner and in the process of doing so, beat the crap out of his ex-partner's father. So,
jeez.
The allegations are very, very serious, and you just get so frustrated. Like, yo, you're a star now. Like, you came. Like, he's from Cuba, got to Mexico, took a long, hard road to the major leagues, and then finally got there and establishes himself as a star and has one of the all-time great postseasons. And now you're down in Mexico trying to kidnap your daughter and beating up your ex-girlfriend's father? And now you're going to – at like the best-case scenario, it seems, unless this is all just fabricated, which there's no indication to believe that it is, the best-case scenario has him being suspended for much of the 2021 season, if not the entire 2021 season. And the worst-case scenario has him in jail, like in a Mexican jail.
Yeah.
How do you go from being the star of the Major League Baseball playoffs to in a Mexican jail? Like, what are you doing? And so, I don't know. I guess you could ask that about a million people in this world, most notably O.J. Simpson. Like, what in the world are you doing killing two people, including your ex-wife? I guess people just find themselves in fits of rage for whatever reason, but what an idiotic situation Randy Arozarena has found himself in. Hopefully that it's all a bunch of nothing for his sake and for his ex-partner's sake, because if it's all a bunch of nothing, then his ex-partner is A-okay and so is her father. But it doesn't sound like that's what this is. So the star of this past Major League Baseball postseason might not even be able to play in the subsequent season.
Story number three.
Congrats to Mason Miller, the Houston High senior, who, of course, is Mike Miller's son, committed to Creighton last night, just shortly after we got off the air. His finalists were Creighton or Indiana, so he was picking between two awesome programs. He goes with the Blue Jays, and, you know, I don't need to tell Mike Miller anything, but I texted him last night just to say, like, as someone who follows college basketball closely, like, Creighton seems like a great fit for Mason. First and foremost, like, Omaha is like Memphis in the sense that it's a city that really supports its college basketball team. I don't know if most people realize this. You know, how about this? Trivia time. How many fans do you think Creighton averaged last season?
I'll say, I mean, I can't imagine they have a huge arena. I'll say like 9,000.
They have an 18,000 seat arena.
They average that?
They averaged 17,314 fans per game last season. That ranked fifth nationally. They're in the top five in attendance nearly every season. People don't know.
I had no clue.
It's usually like Syracuse, Kentucky, you know, Creighton, like right there with them. You know, Creighton is – they're in the top five in attendance nearly every season, and they are always in the top ten. Like, I've been there multiple times. One of my favorite memories, like, in recent years of the job is being on sideline duty for Doug McDermott's senior day in Omaha when he went for 40-plus and, you know, I don't remember the exact barrier that he crossed, but some scoring barrier that he crossed. And it was – you're getting to watch a father, Greg McDermott, watch his son, Doug McDermott, you know, complete one of the all-time great college basketball careers. And that's not hyperbole. Doug McDermott, you know, from a scoring perspective, is, you know, put together one of the best four-year careers in college basketball history. And the story on that, not to get too much into that because we're here to talk about Mason Miller, but the story on that is interesting. Out of high school, Doug McDermott was – going to go to Northern Iowa because at the time Greg McDermott, his father, was the coach at Iowa State in the Big 12, and they did not think he was good enough to play in the Big 12. They didn't think Doug McDermott was good enough to play in the Big 12. So he was going to go to Northern Iowa because it was a Missouri Valley Conference school, and that seemed more the level at which he would be able to succeed. And this isn't a scenario where, like, college coaches didn't see Doug McDermott, so they didn't know. Doug McDermott was high school teammates with Andrew Wiggins. Everybody saw Doug McDermott. Not with Andrew Wiggins, with Harrison Barnes, rather.
Mm-hmm.
He was high school teammates with Harrison Barnes, who was a consensus top five player in the country. So everybody saw Doug McDermott, just nobody thought he was good enough. So he's going to go to Northern Iowa. His dad's coaching at Iowa State. But then Dana Altman leaves Creighton for Oregon. Creighton job opens. Greg McDermott is on the hot seat at Iowa State. He's like, got one more bad year, and then they'll fire him. So Creighton offers him the job. He wisely takes it. At the time, it's in the Missouri Valley Conference. So they say, hey, you were going to go play in the Missouri Valley Conference at Northern Iowa anyway. Now I'm the head coach at Creighton in the Missouri Valley Conference. You might as well just come to Creighton with me. The only reason Doug ended up playing for his father is because his father changed jobs the offseason before Doug McDermott was going to be a freshman in college. Otherwise, he would have been at Northern Iowa in the MVC playing for Ben Jacobson. As it is, he ends up at Creighton playing for his father, and then puts together an all-time great college basketball career. Meantime, Creighton transitions from the MVC to the Big East. So now it's a Big East program, and it has really elevated its place in the sport. They were co-Big East champions last season, and to the point about being a great fit for Mason Miller, what they do is take skilled players like Mason, spread the floor, move the ball, shoot threes. Creighton was number three in offensive efficiency last season. They are consistently one of the best offensive teams, or among the best offensive teams in the country. So if you're Mason Miller, they really did their homework here, identifying a program that is suited for you to showcase your skill set. Mason Miller, seems like a perfect future Creighton Blue Jay. So congrats to Mason and also to Mike, because, listen, Mike is somebody who was a high school All-American, went to Florida, was a Rookie of the Year, won world championships. But nothing makes you prouder than your children's achievements, no matter how big your achievements are. So I know, even though Mike has achieved incredible things in his life, he must be thrilled watching Mason achieve what he's achieving right now and publicly commit to what is now one of the best college basketball programs in America.
Story number four.
College football playoff rankings will debut tonight, a little after 6 o'clock on ESPN. If you go to CBSSports.com, Jerry Palm projects these every week of the season, and he's the best in the business at doing it. So I won't pretend to outsmart him. I'll just tell you exactly the way he thinks this is going to shake out. Tonight, he thinks it will be unveiled that Alabama is number one, Notre Dame is number two, Ohio State is number three, Clemson is number four. A lot of people have wondered, can Cincinnati from the American Athletic Conference actually crack the college football playoff? And the answer is, it's possible, but it is unlikely. And Jerry Palm projects Cincinnati to debut at number eight tonight, behind the four schools I mentioned, plus Texas A&M, Florida, and Northwestern. So even if Cincinnati goes undefeated, it's just going to be hard for them to crack that top four. And you'll probably be reminded of that if you tune into ESPN to watch the college football playoff ranking show. Again, that starts at 6 o'clock.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!